house of the Lord.
I'm going to say the house of the Lord for a long time right now. I'm trying to, I told you guys that I would no longer call this the warehouse, but all week long I still called it the warehouse. There were still moments that I was like, I'm going to the warehouse. I'm at the warehouse. You at the warehouse? I'm at the warehouse. I'm at the Lord's house. We have rededicated, repurposed. How many of you guys in this room have been repurposed? Everyone in this room should wave your hand, repurposed. I have been repurposed. I got to tell you, we have been, I have been renovated, repurposed. I have been re-everything in my life. But I praise God that he gets the victory over all of that. You know, you guys hear me pray those prayers of God, open doors that need to be opened and God, close doors that need to be closed. You know, that's the one thing I'm so thankful for, that God opens up doors and God closes doors. There is nothing better than to know that God is going before you. God is taking care of those steps. You know, our church get asked the question often, what is Trailhead Church about? You know, what's that name about? Well, you know, we know that through the Word of God, it tells us that if we're not following Him, we're just basically aimlessly walking. And so for us, we read Proverbs 16:9 that said, in a man's heart, he plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So for us, we know that when you come to Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, He begins to plan your course. He begins to take care of your steps. And what's wonderful about that is that, well, we want you to find your purpose, who you are, that unique design that God's created in you, that purpose, you know, that desire that's deep inside of you, that God's going to pull it out. And when He does it, you can find it here at the Trailhead. Let's begin your journey with God right here. And so that's our purpose as a church. We want to help people in our community everywhere we go. We want them to know the name of Jesus, the name above all names. We want to give them the hope that was given to us 2,000 plus years ago so that we could walk through those doors that have been opened by God and also watch Him close those doors of new chapters, new beginnings, new visions, seasons. I think some of you guys in this room, you need a new vision, a new purpose, awakening, a new design, whatever that is, something that's been aching in your soul, you know? And I think that's what this is all about. You know, when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, we're seeing things not in a perfect clarity. There's a little bit of a distortion right now. But you know, through the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts of prophecy and revelation of tongues and interpretation. He breaks down all sorts of wonderful, great things. And Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about how in one day those things will be useless to us. And why? Is because we're going to be in the presence of God. But you know, in this time right now, those things are revealing to us those purposes, those unique designs, those moments to say, man, God is so good to us. You know, we have a traveling evangelist. We haven't had him in a while, but he called me up this past week. I don't know if you guys, if you remember, if you've been here, remember David Fleming. David Fleming called me up this past week. I love his voice. He has this one phrase he says. He says, God's so good to me. And I love it. He said it on the phone to me. I just got all that moment, that awakening moment to realize, you know, God is so good to me. And you guys need to say that often. God is so good to me. You guys are supposed to repeat that. So I want you guys to feel it. Everyone right now, one, two, three. God is so good to me. It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing to recognize. God is so good to me. He opens up doors that need to be opened, closed doors that need to be closed. All right, that was my sermonette. I'm going to receive the offering right now. It's time to receive the offering. For all of you that are joining us online at home today, we're so thankful that you're watching, you're tuned in. Soon, and very soon, you will be in person, and you will be here with us. I'm so thankful. Next Sunday, we're opening up our doors to all of the community, those that can come, those that feel the freedom to be able to do so. I understand. During this time right now, there's some difficult decisions that have to be made, but we are opening up our doors. We are staying as safe as we possibly can, according to the guidelines of 6 feet and all that good stuff. But I would encourage you, if you can come out, come out. But soon, soon, very soon, we will be in the house of the Lord all together. I'm praying that to be true for sure. I'm speaking my faith. Speak to that mountain, right? Hey, so offering time. There's multiple ways to give. You can give through your smartphone, tablet device. You can text to give. You can go to our app, select the giving app. For you guys that are in person, checks and cash. And we have offering buckets at the door right here and a door in the very back. I'm so thankful that we can give to the Lord. That is a sweet aroma, a sacrificial sweet aroma. You know, I'm so thankful to receive an offering in our new home. It's such a cool testimony of your guys' faithfulness. We have seen so many great moments. You guys have, there will be a day here soon that I'm going to sit down and we're going to have a sermon series about repurpose and renovation and all that. And in that sermon, I'm going to list out how God did miraculous signs and wonders. And one of the ways that he did it was financially. You know, in the middle of our project, the electrician came up to me and said, "Hey, we feel like we're supposed to tithe off some of these projects, other jobs that he had." And so he tithed into this church. And I'm going to tell you something. It's because of him because of God, obviously, telling him and his faithfulness that we have speakers like we have right here, that we have sound paneling that we have on the walls is because of some of this extra giving. And it's just been so wonderful, a testimony to look around and say, man, God is so good to us. And so I'm so thankful to receive this offering this morning. So guys, with that said, let's pray and we'll receive that offering. Let's do it. Lord, we thank you, Lord, as we give this morning. Lord, it is a sweet, pleasing aroma to you. God, I thank you that, Lord, you've instructed us, Lord, that it's regular and sacrificial. And Lord, that it's not out of compulsion, but Lord, it's giving cheerfully. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to give cheerfully here this morning. Lord, we honor you in all that we do. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I bet the ushers, let me tell you something, guys. The ushers right now, if you watch them, if you look around, there's four of them sitting on these nice stools. And they can see people now. That was one of those moments. They were saying to themselves, I can't see everybody, because they'd be sitting in one of these. Guys, this is where your offering is going to at times. To give them nice seats so they can assist people in a better, efficient way. Some of us overlook those moments, but I got to tell you, if someone all of a sudden needed something, they can see you. That's a good thing. I'll tell you a bad story, but it turns out to be good. Let me tell you a bad story. My church back in West Virginia, my in-laws, we had a moment where we had a medical team in place, we had ushers in place, but we had a heart attack moment where someone had experienced a heart attack on the second or third row. And let me tell you something, the usher team, they were in place, they knew what to do, the medical team took advantage of what needed to be taken advantage of, they jumped up, they assisted the individual, he's still living today. But I got to tell you, that's one of those moments that you're thankful that the ushers have stools to sit in to be able to see appropriately. Versus that, I hear something, but I can't see them. And now they have stools. So I'm thankful for stools. You got to be thankful for the little things in life. John 10:10. Turn your Bible there. Some of you in this room, you may be really familiar with this. We quote it quite often, but I wanted to dive into it a little bit more. My message from last week and this week about holding on. I want us to hold on to our faith. Right now, many of us, it seems a little dreary outside at times, right? I have an Alexa app, or the Alexa Google Echo Dot thing in my house. Yes, they are listening to me. I'm kidding, I don't know. Everyone's always like weary about one. I got one in every room. Every room in my house, I got one. So Alexa's definitely listening to me. But yesterday, it started snowing at my house. It was snowing. It was snowing in Gibsonville. And I said, Alexa, is it supposed to snow today? And she says, no, you're not supposed to, it's not supposed to snow. That's what she said. I was like, you don't know anything. It just helped me feel better about being a human, right? About human. But that reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13:12. That, you know, right now we're not seeing things perfectly. You know, there's something, a haze, a fog of sorts that we haven't seen this full clarity just yet. And so I think even in this verse, the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy He's trying to take care, trying to take away our clarity. And I want to bring clarity to this verse in particular. So it says this: a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it in abundance, some verses say, or some translations. Hey, you know, some of you guys, you get excited about that verse. I get excited about that verse. But let's get some clarity on it. Let's find out, what does God mean when he says, have it in abundance, life? What's your definition of life? You know, that's difficult sometimes. Some of you, you can look around and you'll say, it's family, my family. It could be your job. Some of you are like, man, I got a great job. You start numbering these things, naming these things off. What is abundance? I think there's a healthy side of abundance. And we get actually some clarity if we go back to Luke chapter 12. Jesus has encountered somebody. Now, this is one of a, there's great stories, obviously, all throughout the Word of God, but this one is particularly really funny to me, especially in today's vocabulary. But here in Luke chapter 12, here, there's a great multitude of people around Jesus, right? I mean, this is Jesus Christ. Now, for us, we live in today, 21st century, and we've read the Word of God, and so we have a better picture of Jesus probably than what it was in that moment. But here's a crowd of individuals. And all of a sudden, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Then he says, all right, I'm gonna talk to the crowd. But verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Isn't that great? Imagine Jesus Christ in this moment. And you got this guy in the left corner waving his arm. Hey, you, tell this guy, my brother, tell him, right? Tell him to divide the inheritance with me. Now, there's no context to this whatsoever. Jesus doesn't know these individuals. He doesn't know what's going on necessarily. And this guy's like, hey, you, tell this guy. Divide the inheritance. So I love what Jesus has to say. Jesus replied, man. That's what I love about today's vocabulary. Hey, man. Hey, you. Hey, man. I just love that. Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out. He said, watch out. You and your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Let's go back to John 10:10. I've come to give you life, life in abundance. Clearly, I've been around David Fleming on the phone way too long. I sound just like him right now. We talked for about an hour. I love him. All right, but listen, it says abundance of possessions. That goes against the idea of life in abundance. What is life to some of you in this room? What's your driving force of life? What is that puzzle piece that maybe you feel like you're missing in life right now, that you're trying to fill that void up? Maybe there's something in there. You're thinking, if I just had this, it's an abundance. If I just had one more gadget, right? One more something. Something, right? Now, men, don't take that wrong. Look at your wife and go, she keeps saying, one more child. She can have another child. The first commandment, right? First commandment in the Word of God. Reproduce. Keep going. Have five. Have six. I'm done, so I can tell you guys how many kids to have. Just keep going. It's good times. The Blake Courts, you need to have six more. Six more Charlies. Yes, it would be awesome. I love all of your children, but there is something about Charlie I just love. I would take him home with me in a heartbeat. I can hear Dave in the background, do it. Verse 16. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself." I love it. "Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Now, keep in mind, I'm not talking about poverty. Poverty is a spirit, and that is a sin. Poverty is a sin. So now I'm not telling you to live in a poor mentality. By no means, way, shape, or form. That is not this message. I'm not telling you to give away all your possessions. I'm not telling you that at all. If you heard the very last part of it, this is the little side note that I want you to know. Yes, I'm talking about the abundance of life and that definition. And yes, it is not about the many possessions you have. Doesn't mean that it's not okay. It is okay to have possessions. It's okay to have a house. It's okay to have clothing. It's okay to have these things. Jesus says this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. But is not. There's a richness towards God that is the most important, okay? That supersedes possessions. When you put possessions before God, that's when you get in trouble. So I'm not going to sit here and say, sell everything. I'm not going to tell you to do that. That's not unless God tells you yourself to start selling things. I'm not telling you that. But what I'm trying to get to is, what is your definition? How about this? How about this question is how do you measure the life you're living? Where is that at? Is your life abundant in Christ Jesus? Or is it abundant in self-absorption? Is it all about me, or is it all about Him? Are you growing your kingdom, or are you growing His kingdom? As I mentioned last week, are you the example, or are you the excuse? How are you going to live your life to the fullest in Christ Jesus? Measure that up. You know, some of us in this room, we may be measuring our life by cents and dollars. Some of us by acres that we own, or maybe by the name brand you're wearing. Or some of you in this room, maybe it's someone else. You're measuring yourself by someone else in comparison. If I could just have what they have, I see their life, I want what they have. Man, comparison's a scary position to find yourself in. It's easy too. I want that. My wife and I, we've always, you know, you ask those questions, especially if you're watching HGTV, right? You look at that and you go, how can they afford a house in the Caribbean? What do they do for a living? And then you start trying to find them on Facebook. You're like looking around. You're like, I think I found him. How much, what is he? Oh, he's a lawyer. That's how he can do it, right? You start putting that category. Should have listened to my parents when they told me, you could be a lawyer someday. I want to be a garbage man. Right? I want to do this. You start telling them, I'm telling you, I want to be a doctor. I tell my son Colton is obsessed with cars. Driving down the road, Corvette, Dad. Corvette. That's a Tesla. You know, Dad, they're making this new Tesla. He starts giving me all this information. Colton, if you want one of those cars, you can have one of those cars, but you have got to learn to love school right now. Ugh. You hear him in the background sigh. He doesn't realize, right? But I tell him, hey, man, hey, you can have those things, but that doesn't make you who you are. I know, Dad, I know. Yeah. You know, life is measured by who you know. Let's put that in perspective. It's all about who you know. You know who I know? I know Jesus. I know who He is. I know what He says about me. And that helps me to put a measure on life. You know, I think we need to wake up to this. You know, it talks about measuring in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It had nothing to do with possessions in there. How many Apple products can you get? And some of you are like, hypocrite, you got a watch on. It's true. I do have an Apple watch so that my wife can text me even more. It's right. Again, it's okay to have possessions. I think, again, we can get into these little veins of you need to live in poverty. It's okay to have these items, but they cannot become idols. They cannot have you and grab you and hold you. You need to have a realistic approach on who you are in Christ Jesus. This does not identify me as cool. Remember last week I said, hey, the fruit of the Spirit is not cool. Cool is not a fruit of the Spirit. As much as we think it is not a fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? How about love, joy, peace? Are you operating in those? Is that your measurement? Those things should supersede any type of other measurements in your life. And that's why in Ephesians, Paul is praying that prayer of love. Man, if you can understand how deep, how wide, how high he loves you so much. Some of you may not know this, but here's how you grasp that understanding. The Amplified Bible. I love the Amplified Bible. I love going to that translation ever so often just to read a few verses to say, man, that's good. You know, now the Amplified, if you're not familiar with the Amplified translation, it's basically taken the Hebrew, the Greek, especially the Greek in the New Testament, but it's taken those and has expanded out on what one word would mean. So I was in Brazil this past year with my wife. Now, this may be a bad story or a good story. I still don't know. We are translation illiterate. Okay, I have no idea if this was a good moment. But I looked up love in Portuguese, and my driver in front of me, one of my new best buddies, Bruno, Pastor Bruno, he drives Anna and I around when we're in Rio. And when we're there, I just love this guy. If you saw Anna's Instagram post, you saw that he was the guy that I was up front and he was trying to teach me how to speak Portuguese. Anyway, I said the word, I love you, man, in Portuguese. And he looked at me, no, no. I had no idea. It was love. I translated love, Google Translate love. I said the word in Portuguese and he looked at me and goes, no. I'm glad this is a service where there's no kids in the room, just youth. Clearly, what I was trying to say to him was an intimate type of love. I didn't know that I was saying those words. I thought I was just telling him that I loved him. Clearly, it was on an intimate level. He's like, no, no, don't say that ever again. See, words have depth to them. So when I read the Amplified Version, I go, oh, there's depth to this. So I want to read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, the Amplified. Okay, it says, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which surpasses mere knowledge. Without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God Himself. Experience. Guys, it comes through experience. This whole, I'm going to be a Christian, and then just sit on your hands. Your prayers are like little minuscule prayers. Lord, bless this food. Oh, Lord. There was a little bit of Monty Python in there for you. Bless this holy hand grenade, little blood. So anyway, sorry. What I'm trying to get to is these minuscule little prayers. Some of you are living off mama's and grandma's prayers. And it's time to stretch out and say, no, no, I want to pray. Man, I want the goodness of God. I want to experience a rebirth, a renewed vision. I want to see growth. Some of you, man, you need to peel off that dead flesh, those fleshly desires, and say, man, I want the God desires. I want the God-driven purpose in my life so that I can experience Him. You know, this is what it's about, is that you've got to begin to pray prayers that are so faith-stretching prayers that it creates experience with Him, that you're able to have faith foundational blocks to look back and go, that wasn't possible. That's not real. This is crazy. This is on another level that I thought was possible. And that's what God is desiring from us, that experience with Him. Authentic, life-empowering experience. I want that in my life. You know, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Are you seeking Him? I want to ask you guys two questions. The band, come on up. I want to ask you guys two questions. This is homework for this week. You know, this is a question many of us, we don't get asked too often. The question is what does a Christian look like? I want you to answer that for yourself. What do you think a Christian is? What does a Christian look like? How does a Christian behave? Ask those questions. Begin to say, this is what I think, you know. A Christian shares the love of Jesus, you know. Start listening to that. A Christian is a volunteer. A Christian operates out of the fruits of the Spirit. A Christian gives freely. A Christian, and just keep listing those things out. Asking yourselves these things. What does that look like to you? Compare yourself now to those moments and say, what does that look like? How do I measure up to what the Word of God says? What does the Word of God say about being a Christian? You know, asking those hard questions. You know, those moments where James says, you know, hey, don't forget who you are in Christ Jesus. It'd be silly to look at yourself in the mirror and then turn around and forget what you look like. You should be able to know who you are, what that resembles. Am I a walking example of Jesus Christ everywhere I go? Ask yourself those questions. What does a Christian look like? And then I want you to ask this question. If God had a personal ad, what would it read? How would it read? Would the personal ad say something like, I like long walks? Yes. He loved to walk with Adam, right? Does God love to shut doors? Yeah, he shut Noah's door. He shut the ark door to sin. He shuts those doors. You know, does God love to show off a little bit His love towards you? Yes. Start asking those questions. What does God's personal ad look like? Is it appealing to you? Boy, I hope it is. If it's appealing to you, then you need to run and answer that ad. You need to go to our Father and say, God, here I am. Oh, I want to be in Your presence. I want to experience who You are. I want to have an encounter that is God-ordained, that is life-empowering. I want those moments with You. I want to experience things like I've never seen before. I want to hear You. I want to see You. Guys, that's what it takes. Many people who aren't Christians, they have a hard time with this thought of, I don't know if God's real or not. You know, God's never going to be real to you unless you ask Him to be real. God, I want You to be real in my life. When you do that, whoa, buddy. God says, oh, yeah, here I am. I'll show you who I am. I'll give you something to talk about. I'll give you something to remember. Something that will stick with you like you've never experienced before. Life isn't measured by those possessions. Life is measured by your experience with Him. That's how life is measured. When I die, when I'm an old, ripe age and I pass away, I want my children, my grandchildren, not to be like, oh, yes, I got 10 grand. Oh, yes, I get the house. I get the cars. I get this, I get that. I want them to walk away with the knowledge of the experience I had with Christ Jesus. I want them to walk away and go, man, my dad had a story. When he walked through the Grand Canyon, God told him to minister to this girl. And I ministered to this girl named Brenda. And I said, Brenda, what do you want when you get out of this Grand Canyon? She said, I want a watermelon. And I said, a watermelon? I said, all right. She goes, what do you want? I want a banana. I said, just one banana. I'm not sharing. She said, okay. All right, that's weird, but okay. And I said, do you believe in God? She goes, nah, not really. And I said, all right, how about we pray right now? Let's pray, and let's let God show up. And she goes, all right. So I prayed the prayer. Lord, we thank you for this moment we have in this Grand Canyon. God, I thank you that, Lord, that you're gonna supply the need. Lord, we need a watermelon and a banana when we get out of here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Man, I tell you what, super funny. We're coming out, and these hikers from Colorado are coming down. They're like gazelles, Coloradian hikers. They're like just coming down all happy and refreshed. I look beat up, like I've been dead and thrown in an alley. And they go, are you guys okay? And I said, no. We got friends down here, and they need help. And he said, well, we'll go down there. You go with me. So this lady, she said, come with me. We got an RV at the top. We walked up to the top of the rim, and she opened up her RV and said, you guys go ahead and go in. I got the air conditioner on. I said, go in. We sat down, and I looked at Brenda, and I said, Brenda, do you see what I see? And she said, I see God. So in comes this woman. She comes in the RV, and she goes, guys, she goes, I'm sorry. All I have to offer you is a watermelon and one banana. And I looked at her and I said, that's plenty. One banana. Some people always ask, did you share that banana? No, I didn't. I ate that whole banana. Guys, isn't it great? When you have stories like that where you know that God is so good, only He could provide one watermelon and one banana. And it was just enough. It was wonderful. Because in your life, if my God can give a watermelon and a banana, He can do a whole lot more. It's really just a matter of how much we're asking. Where are you at? Guys, let it be a testimony, this warehouse. This was an impossible feat. I mean, seriously. Too many people would say time and time again, I can't believe that you're trying to make this into a church. Time and time again. Ooh, I'm glad I'm not you. Oh, I'm glad I am who I am. Because God is so good to us, right? Guys, we're going to worship again. I'm going to ask that the prayer team, they'll come up here. If you need prayer of any sort and you feel comfortable, you can stand at a distance if you want. But I'd love for us to pray, intercede, and see our faith grow. For all of you that are home, we love you. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hey, listen, next week, it's going to be phenomenal. Next Sunday at 9 a.m., please come out and join us. Guys, God is so good. Please, this week, study. Read Romans, all of Romans. That's going to help you create that personal ad. It's going to create you to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. You're going to see pictures of different individuals throughout the Word of God and faith, where you say, I want to experience their faith. Enoch walked with God, right? He walked with God. God loves walks. Walk with Him this week. It's one of the best things you can do. All right, for everyone that's home, stick around. Christian's got a great children's lesson for all of you. All right, see you guys next week. For everyone here, let's stand up.